Well, thank you, everyone, for being here and for inviting my wife and I. This is my wife right here, Patricia, and we come from a little state called Florida. So, and we are very blessed to be here. We tried to be here twice last year, but we were dealing with a hurricane, so we didn't get to be here. So, but I do understand that you have my nephew with you all the time, Terry Fowler.
Yeah.
I've been praying all of life, so I mean, you know. And then my brother Joe, who has gone on to be with the Lord, was here speaking a couple of times, I guess. So it's a privilege and an honor to be here this morning. Title of my sermon this morning is going to be The Power of Words. And words have meanings. And every word can have two meanings because it depends on the way you say it. If you say hello to somebody in a real nice, hello, how are you doing? So good to see you. You know, they're going to respond back in the same manner. But if you come in grouchy and grumpy and say, oh, brother, here you are again, you know, most of the time it means a different thing. I want to read you a little bit of thing here before I go on. Watch your thoughts, for they become your words. Watch your words, because they become your actions. Watch your actions, because they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day, for the opportunity to be with this group of people. Father, we just ask you that you just bless each one of them, Father. And Lord, we ask you just to anoint the words that you have given me, anoint my lips as we speak, and we give you the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. I am more of a teacher than I am a preacher. I love to teach. And if I can get a small group of people together to teach them, I love watching the expressions, because when they get it, you can see the wheels start to turn. How many teachers do we have here today? Okay, you know what I'm saying then. You know, when I finally learned my ABCs and I finally learned how to do math, that one I'm still working on, but it was so amazing that when you get something, the lights come on and your eyes sparkle and you're like, oh, I finally got it. It's the same way with the Word of God. When you finally get something that the Word of God says, doesn't matter how many times you've read it. I was reading the other day something, I'm like, I don't remember reading that before. You know, I've read that same scripture several times and I've never seen that part. But it's amazing when you finally catch it. The power of your words. In Genesis 1:1, by the way, that was a great lesson this morning on Eve. In the beginning, God. And in verse 3, and God said, and then there was action. He said, let there be light. And there was light. In verse 5, God called the night day, or the light day, and the darkness he called night. God spoke, and then there was action. And you go all the way down to the verse 29, and God said, and God said. And after every time he said something, there was an action. The same thing with us. When we speak words, there's an action. Sometimes it's a great action. Sometimes it's not too good. I remember one time Jimmy Swaggart. How many ever heard of Jimmy Swaggart? He was making a left-hand turn. And someone cut him off and turned in front of him. And he said, well, you stupid idiot. And he said the Holy Spirit came to him and said, do you not know that you have the power to cause that person to be a stupid idiot. Because in Proverbs, the 18th chapter, 21st verse, it says, the power of life and death are in the tongue. That's why the Bible also refers to the tongue just like the ship's rudder. The ship, if it didn't have a rudder, it just, you know, there's no telling where it'd go. But the rudder is what directs the ship. Your tongue directs your life. As we speak things into existence, you know, we can speak life over our body. We can speak death over our body. We can speak blessings, or we can speak curses. We can speak fear, or we can speak faith. It just depends on what you're believing for. Believe, you know, if you're believing for healing, begin to speak healing to yourself. You know, some people don't believe in healing. I don't know why, but they don't. They just, you know, I'll just go to the doctor, and nothing against doctors. I have friends of doctors. We have a friend of ours that we happen to go to the Dominican Republic every year with a missions group. And we have great doctors there, and all of them are our friends, thank God. Well, I'll put it this way. They like my wife. The jury's still out on me, but they are good friends, and they all are believers, every one of them. And they speak to these people. They speak health to them. They give them medicine. You know, don't ever stop going to your doctor till he tells you not to come back. Don't stop taking your medicine till he says you don't have to take it anymore. I had a friend of mine years ago. She was a diabetic, and she decided, I'm going to get prayed for, and then I'm going to stop taking my medicine. And she did. And she just about died because of that. She didn't go to the doctor. So don't stop taking your medicine. Don't stop taking your or going to the doctor. And turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy. The 30th chapter and the 19th verse. He says, I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you that I have set before you life and death, the blessings and the curses. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants may live. Now, I would much rather have life as to go ahead and die. I don't have a problem dying. I know where I'm going when I die. But, you know, it's kind of like that old country song. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. You know, I enjoy living. My wife and I have only been married 10 years and 2 weeks. She lost her husband. I lost my wife. God put us together, and we've been traveling ever since. And so I like life. I like living. I like the things that we do. But if God was to call me home, I would be happy with that also. But he says, choose life. Why? So that you and your descendants may live. So when you're speaking to yourself, whether you're sick or if you're going through a problem, maybe it's a financial problem, maybe it's a marriage problem, maybe it's a problem at work, speak life to that problem. Don't just say, oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I used to do that all the time. I don't know about this job. They just don't like me there. And then all of a sudden, God spoke to me one day, and he said, do this. Don't say you don't know what you're going to do. Begin to speak life. We was in a meeting just about a month ago in Kentucky, and I love to joke around with people and tease them and stuff like that. And lady, I asked her how she's doing. She says, good. She says, how are you doing? Well, my first response was, put it that away, well, I've never been good but once, and it was only for about 2 minutes. You know, and that was has always been my response, because I like to joke around. God corrected me on that. He says, stop doing that. You have life because you speak the word. So why not speak to yourself saying, hey, I'm better than good? So there's other things that God's correcting me on too. It's taking him a while. But when we speak to ourselves, I'll put it to you this way. When we were in the Dominican Republic, I had a problem with my left leg. It would grow numb on me. So I leaned over onto my right side, you know. It's what people do, you know. Well, one part hurts, well, we'll go back to this side. Well, I did that for 10 days. I came home. Man, I was miserable. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. God said, speak life. Begin to say, there's no more pain. I didn't go to the doctor. I probably should have, but I didn't. But you know what? After a while, my leg, both of my legs stopped hurting. Now, I'm a big one on Icy Hot. I'm going to use Icy Hot. I he's my best friend. I like Icy Hot. It does wonders. But God said, stop using Icy Hot. I'm like, it works, God. But he said, begin to speak healing to your legs. About 2 weeks went by. I did this every day. I began to speak life into my legs, into my ankles and my hips, because they would go numb. Haven't been numb since. Why? Because when you speak life, you begin to live what God has told you. You want the blessings instead of the curses. So many of the times we look at people and we, oh man, that is one ugly dude, you know? Must have had a great mama, because he is one ugly dude. But you know what? If we begin to speak life to that person that you don't really care for, you know, hey, that guy's a good person. Look at that. I had a friend of mine years ago. Several ministers got together, and they were talking bad about this guy. And there was one guy in there, and he said, yeah, but you know what? He sure can whistle good. You know, if that's all you can find out to say about somebody, begin to say that. Begin to speak life over that person. Begin to speak life over your situation. There was a lady years ago that had a fever. And for several months, she went to the doctor. The doctors ran tests. They couldn't find out what was wrong with her. They ran more tests. They still couldn't find what was wrong with her. They finally set her down. Now, these doctors were not Christians. And I don't believe the lady was. But they finally got her set down, and they said, okay, we need to know, what are you saying to yourself? You know, how are you talking? Well, what do you mean? Well, when something upsets you, what do? If it makes me mad, it just says, that just burns me up. Well, they said, okay, well, stop saying that. About 2 weeks went by. She had no more fever. Why? Because she quit saying, I'm burning up. You know, I'm as guilty as anybody. Oh, I feel a headache coming on. I'm going to catch the flu. Well, I think, man, I'd laugh till I died. You know, it's words. Words are containers. And they hold so much meaning. I was listening to a lady not too long ago, and she said she tells people to do replacement therapy. And I'm like, okay, what is replacement therapy? Well, when you have a negative thought or worry, or you're fearful about something, or something's not going the way you think it should, begin to replace those negative thoughts with positive things that the Bible says, the promises of God. Because he said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. There was a study done several years ago, and I think they said it was like 26,000 people, and that's my earphone, I guess, isn't it? I'm like, what? Why do I have an earphone on me here? Anyway, they were all around 65 years old, comparable health, and they started asking each one of them, how's your health? Well, a bunch of them said, I just don't think I can get any better. I'm just so weak. I'm just poor in health. And then they asked a bunch of other ones, and they said, man, I'm in great shape. I'm feeling fine, you know. They found out that those who were speaking of poor health passed away, and they were 4 to 5 times more likely to pass away 4 years earlier than they should have. Why? Because they were speaking death to themselves instead of life. It doesn't matter who you are. We've got friends all over the world. And some of them, they're like, oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do about this situation. I said, well, speak to it. Tell it to go away. If it's bothering you, tell it to go away. We are vessels of the Most High God. And this vessel, there's no room in it for sickness. Now, it may come on me, and I may have to take medicine. But you know what? It doesn't belong there. And I have the power, because God said the power of life and death is in my tongue. It's in your tongue to cause it to leave your body. I didn't say it. God said it. So, you know, if we begin to speak life instead of death, if we begin to speak blessings instead of curses, if we walk in faith and not fear, I'm very convinced that our words hold meaning to our life. It will change our circumstances, no matter what they are. Now, it may not happen immediately. May take you a while. I've seen people who've done that for years, and finally, all of a sudden, they're like, wow, I don't have a headache anymore. I've seen people walk around. I used to have headaches all the time. Well, I stopped drinking Cokes, for one, and Diet Cokes, and I'm down to 2 cups of coffee a day, and drink very little tea. Now, once in a while, I have a headache now. That was part of what I did, but I also began to speak to my headaches. Need to go away. You don't have a home here. The devil thinks he can control you. He thinks he can get you to do his thing instead of what God wants you to do. But if you begin to speak life and health to your body, to your mind, to your finances, to your marriage, whatever the circumstance or the situation is it going to come to pass right away? That's something that's going to be between you and God. Sometimes it happens right away. Sometimes it don't. Sometimes it takes a year. Sometimes it takes longer than a year. Had a friend of mine years ago. She's gone on to be with the Lord now, but she had a heart attack. And they went to a church. She was prayed for. She went back to the doctor because of her heart. And they said, well, what happened to your heart? She said, what do you mean? Well, there's nothing wrong with it. Well, what do you mean there's nothing wrong with it? Well, this is the x-rays from the time before, and this is the x-rays from now. What'd you do? I got prayed for. She began to speak life to her body, and God healed her. So as we speak life and health to our body, it don't matter how old you are, doesn't matter whether you're male or female, doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, doesn't even matter what kind of car you drive, you know. So if you speak life and health to your body, you are going to live in what I call the victorious life. So I would encourage everyone to get books that speak about life, speak about the words. When I was in school, one of my teachers had me study about words. Now, I can't tell you everything that he told me to do, but because that was a long time ago. But the one thing he told me was, your words are important, and how you convey your message. If I get up in the morning, which I usually get up before my wife, I make coffee, and sometimes I'm in a good mood when I get up. You know, sometimes I'm like, oh man, what in the world did I do last night? You know, we live in a motor coach, and probably will for the next 2 years. Sometimes you can hear the rain, you know, and you're like, okay, when's it going to stop raining? You know, when's the wind going to stop? You know, when's it going to stop blowing? And so when you get up and you make your coffee and you're like, okay, God, I got to get this, you know, I got to get my mind together so I can, so when my wife gets up, I got that coffee ready for her, you know. I want to make sure she has her coffee. But if I don't get in the Word right away, my whole day is changed. Why? Because I forgot to get in the Word and get the Word in me so that I could speak life and health to me and to my wife, to our circumstance, to our situation, to whatever it is that we're needing for that day. The same goes with you, whatever it is you're needing for that day. You begin to speak life to it. Begin to meditate on the words. Search the scriptures. Find out what the word says about words, because they all have meaning. I had one other thing to talk to you about, and it's in here somewhere. Genesis 3, actually, you almost talked about it this morning. One of the things that we have a problem with, or I'll put it this way, I have a problem with, I'm what you would say, I'm not a trusting person. I trust people as long as I can see them. You know? My wife, on the other hand, is very trusting. She never locked her doors. We got married, I locked the doors, put bars underneath the handles. You know? What are you doing that for? I've been broke into. I don't like that feeling. So I don't trust people. Where we're staying at in Brighton, Illinois, which is down by Alton. I don't know who had that friend in Alton, but they leave their keys in their vehicles and then their ATVs, and I'm like, you don't do that. Why not? Well, what if somebody comes up and takes it? Well, it's insured. Well, yeah, but, well, you got to trust people. I'm not that trusting. One of the reasons why is found in Genesis, the 3rd chapter. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees of the garden, except from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But there's a big word right there. But the serpent said, you're not going to die. The trust that the woman had in God's word, the devil put doubt in her heart and in her mind. When we begin to trust the Word of God and trust what God has said, we are going to be so much better off. And I'm learning to be more trustworthy. I still lock everything up, but I'm learning to trust a little bit more. But when you've been broke into, you have a tendency to say, hey, lock the doors, shut the windows, turn the air conditioner on, you know, because it puts a fear in there. I'll put it that way. Now, I'm not as fearful as I used to be. So, anyway, I just wanted to share that with you, and hopefully and prayerfully that you got something out of it.